You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We have Nick Crisp from Da Da Da. Nick is based over in LA. He's just released a new track called Glass Ceiling, and it is an absolute banger. I'm really, really excited to have this chat. Good morning to you, Nick. How are we?
Kia ora, Zach. I'm well, thank you.
Nice. Very well. I'm glad to hear. How's LA treating you?
It's good, man. Yeah, it's a cool 32 degrees Celsius today, scorching. And yeah, it's haven't made my bed yet.
Have you started to convert temperature into Fahrenheit yet after being in America, or are you resisting that?
My conversion is a little shaky still. I'm kind of resisting it. I'm probably better converting kilometers to miles at this point, but the temperature still seems to... I can't wrap my head around it.
It's bizarre, right? It doesn't make any sense. It's so confusing.
No, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It's a very irrational country. What's the vibe over there? I mean, I know things are pretty dark, but what's LA like at the moment? Politically,
I guess,
spiritually?
I think it's, you know, there's a general malaise, I mean, here, there, and everywhere at the moment, I think. And I think LA in particular is like quite a, it's like a potent example of that, you know. I think, as much as there's a lot of like incredible shows going on here, incredible work being made, you know, lots of artists that are doing really interesting stuff, that yeah, it's kind of, there is a bit of an inescapable gloominess to it all, especially given the political situation over here. But you know, it is real that, you know, this is kind of happening across the board, and I think we need to, you know, you just try to kind of hold on to the beautiful things in times like this, you know.
Yeah, totally. Totally, man. You mentioned just before we went live on air that you lived in Dunedin for a year. When was that, and what were you doing down here, just hanging out?
It was 2016 or 2017, I forget. I did 1 year of university, kind of doing a ambiguous Bachelor of Arts, and yeah, it was brilliant. I love Dunedin. I've got spent a lot of time there, and yeah, it was a great year.
Awesome. I saw on social media that you made a very fascinating website called Meta Invoice, where people can log their time and habits on Instagram, how many posts they've made, etc., to see how much revenue they've generated for Meta and send them an invoice. Mine total was about $9,000. What are some of the highest ones that you've seen so far?
Oh, I mean, I had a friend that did it that, you know, he got into the hundreds of thousands.
Really?
Yeah, and then there's been a few kind of probably trolls that have gone on there and just like maxed out the all of the data.
All the inputs.
So there's millions, yeah.
Oh, true. It's such a cooked, like, you know, it's weird that you put it like that on the website, that we are actually just little money units for these horrifying companies.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, like, it is, the reality of it is a bit more, you know, bleak than I think we often think of. And I think it was, you know, it's just, I thought it was a funny work to kind of make that point, but do it in a kind of way that, yeah, at least, you know, it made me think about the whole kind of transaction of, especially like, with the creative industries, you know, how these platforms how these platforms kind of treat our the work that we're doing, and then also just as like a user, like, I'm so addicted to my phone, and I thought it was, yeah, I'm kind of interested in making work that kind of, you know, points that out, but then surrounding that kind of come back to, you know, but we dance about it, you know.
Da Da Da, your sort of pseudonym, is named after Dadaism, which is an art movement from Europe that sort of began in 1916 as a reaction to World War One, nationalism, and it reacted to those things through absurdism. When did you become aware of that movement?
Good question. I mean, I think it would have been... It must have been a few years ago now. I don't know. I can't even remember how it came across my radar. But I wouldn't say as much as it's like I named Da-Da-Da after it, but that was definitely like, you know, I think there was a lot of the absurdism, and obviously that was at an, you know, those artists were kind of working at a time in history that was, you know, obviously incredibly tumultuous as well, but it dealt with these, you know, it dealt with these kind of political and social themes, but in an incredibly jovial and kind of affecting way. So, I think just Da-Da-Da, it's, you know, it's also just a great, you know, it's, there's a rhythm to it, and it's simple, and
it's fun,
beautifully phonetic.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting you mentioned that you want to sort of, you know, deal with the society and the problems we have through absurdism, because I feel like, some of the shit that I see on my feed tries to do a similar thing, but it's not as affecting. It's sort of, gosh, it's irony, right? And
yeah.
I feel like irony only goes so far, but I feel like you're going a bit of a step beyond that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, thank you, man. That's, I think irony is useful, but, I think it can sometimes be more, you know, something can leave a mark if it's kind of taken with a degree of like, yeah, ridiculousness or absurdism. It can kind of, you know, reframe the bleakness in a lighter way, you know.
Like the video that you've got for Ease Your Mind, which, you know, it starts out pretty ironic. I mean, it's a pretty, like, it's very silly, it's very absurd, but then it just gets darker and darker and darker and more upsetting as it goes on.
Yeah. I know, it's I think, you know, Da-Da-Da is this kind of ever-growing thing for me, and I'm like, you know, at the end of the day, it is like a kind of journalistic project, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm making points about like the world, you know, that we live in, and I think like, yeah, continually I'm like, oh yeah, man, is this something that is appealing to kind of just being like, be like really spending so much time, you know, dealing with these issues that we face of the day, you know, is that something that's good to be at the front of the mind kind of constantly? But I mean, at the end of the day, it really is just, it's my experience. It's how I'm feeling in it. And, I think, yeah, it's kind of this ever growing thing. So at the moment, that's where a lot of my kind of critique or at least what I'm excited about exploring is kind of residing, you know?
We'll talk about glass ceiling in just a second, but I do want to take you to task over one thing. You do use AI in the video for Ease Your Mind to make sort of, you know, to point fun at slop content, I guess. But is it kind of beside the point if you're using AI for that purpose?
I mean, good question. I think, you know, that's a really interesting conversation, but one thing that I've certainly, you know, not just with the Ease Your Mind video, but also with this, a couple of like posting projects that I've had on Instagram is like, I'm interested in this idea of like using the medium or using the like format of what you're critiquing, whether it be slop or whether it be platforms that kind of consolidate attention for advertising revenue. It's like I'm interested in using the kind of format of those platforms to kind of critique them or to satirize them or to take the piss out of them, essentially, you know. And I think there's, you know, with the Ease Your Mind video specifically, you know, there is something to be said for using tools in a way that although maybe ethically the tools themselves don't come from such a place of a moral high ground, it's like using the tools in a way that that is maybe they're maybe not supposed to be used, and I think that's an interesting space to be working in. So in the short of it, I'm not sure. I don't know the answer to that question.
No, that's fair. I do want to talk about the new track, Glass Ceiling. It has almost like a Madchester sort of Happy Mondays sound to it. Are you a fan of that era?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a massive Yeah, I mean, I think some of the great music that I love came from, you know, that part of the world over those kind of years. I mean, the Hacienda, that nightclub, I'm kind of constantly looking forward, looking towards. Or, you know, I'm just so fascinated by that whole world that was going on there. And yeah, I think that there's a similar thing where they would. It was very dance-centric, it was very live-centric, and I think, you know, that's part of such a massive part of my, like, musical DNA is, like, movement and how songs feel in a room when performed, you know. So, yeah.
Have you seen that the mockumentary 24-Hour Party People?
Yeah. It's brilliant, yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
You say on the song that you're in a city with too much money and too little taste. Are you referencing L.A. there?
Yeah. I've lived like here on and off for like 3 years now, and it's funny. It really is. It's interesting because it's you've got everything here, you know, in LA. You've got on the whole spectrum. You've got the most commercial, you know, creative work on the musical side. You know, you've got the most commercial music, and then on the complete other side, you've got the most underground, the most kind of like avant-garde, and you've got everything in between. And I think, like, yeah, that lyric, born from probably some situation or some interaction that I was like, oh, this needs some taste here or something, you know.
What's the most tasteless thing that you've seen in LA or heard?
Oh man, I mean, where to start? It's hard because, like, you know, obviously taste is so subjective, but I think, like, maybe where my frustrations lie the most is there's a lot of people that work in the music industry over here, like whether they're on the label side or the promoter side, and they're kind of just like espousing these like ideas of, you know, whether it be how to market an artist or how to, you know, how do you measure the value of an artist, that I just think a lot of the ideas that people are kind of latching onto here are just like so baseless and or they just need like reconfiguring, I think. So yeah, it usually comes from conversations with people who think a certain way about music.
I also just imagine there's just a lot of Nepo babies around the place who must be making some awful music.
yeah. But it's funny, you know, like I worked on a project with a really one of my mates who's a brilliant artist, and you know, I would look at someone like him as like, you know, I see his taste, I'm like, I really, really admire his taste, and he's constantly putting me onto good stuff. But we were kind of constantly talking about like Machine Gun Kelly in the studio, and, like, and I think, like, you know, it is so subjective. You know, even in something that I might deem to be like, you know,
cringe,
you know, outside of my realm of what I think is deemed to be tasteful, whatever that means. You know, you could still find something in it that I'm sure you could still find something in anything that is of merit somehow.
Have you got any projects on the line for 2026? Can we expect to see an EP or an album?
Yeah, the songs so far that I've put out, the three songs are going to be, they're part of an EP. And then I've got, so there'll be a couple more, another song coming in May, and then a couple more after that with some remixes. And then... yeah, I've got a project, Eden Burns, who,
yo,
Dunedin local, him and I have got Dunedin local and dear friend, we've got like a bunch of music coming this year that we've been working on, which is super exciting. He's like one of my favorite artists period at the moment. It's cool. I think we're going to do it in like a few, like maybe three EPs. But yeah, stuff's exciting, and just more shows, hoping to get down under for some more shows, and yeah, man.
Well, hopefully you come through New Zealand sometime. If you do, be sure to stop by Dunedin, you know. We'll be very happy to have you, Nick.
I'd absolutely love to.
It'd be a real treat. Well, thanks for coming on the program, man. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final thoughts, words, or opinions to leave our listeners with?
I mean, you know, thank you for listening. If you're listening so far, thank you for listening. And yeah, if you're interested, tap in and just like, yeah, appreciate your time as well, Zach. Thanks for the platform.
Oh, no stress, man. No stress. Anytime. All right. Thank you so much, man. I'll see you on the flip side, as I say.
All right. All right.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, folks, that was Nick from Da Da Da. We're talking to Nick about his new track, Glass Ceiling, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to play the track for you right now here on our very own Earwaves on The One. At 10:30, we'll be joined by Good Space talking about his new project for Music Month in May. We'll get more into that later on. Here is Da 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 with Glass Ceiling. Enjoy.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.